on this Pentecost Sunday, this day when we remember that the Spirit descended to enable God's people to proclaim God's good news to the whole world, we are delighted to welcome a guest preacher. So we are trusting that the Spirit, Rob, will enable you to speak in ways that we can hear this morning. Rob Ogilvie is the executive minister of the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada. When you sometimes hear us say CBWC, that's what that means. And Rob has been giving leadership there. Before he was our executive minister, he was our regional minister for BC Yukon. So Rob has been in and out of our lives forever as he's mouthing down there. And so we're really glad to welcome you here. Would you show him that he's among friends?
Today's scripture reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Please stand. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive his name. I pray that, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It is a good morning. What a full morning. Oh my goodness. I'm exhausted already and I haven't started to speak yet. Might be dangerous for all of us. To sing "How Great Is Our God" in multiple languages. And then it comes to that line that says, "Sing with me." And that line jumped out at me this morning like it never has before. After we had sung in so many different languages. Okay, I admit I stumbled through quite a few of those languages. My apologies. But what an awesome example of coming together. What an awesome example of Pentecost when they thought that many different languages were being spoken. When I first walked in this morning, Andrea greeted me and she said, "Oh, I'm really glad you're here." And I thought, well, isn't that nice? You know, like, Andrea was just really excited that I came today, and, you know, we've kind of bonded over the years. You know, it's just really nice to be appreciated. And then she said, "You do know what I'm doing today, right?" And I said, "No." And then she told me what she was going to do today. And then I realized why she was so glad I was here. She was pretty sure you would all shoot me instead of her. That's why we have pulpits to hide behind. Anyway. It's great to be back here again. The last time I spoke here was a couple of years ago. It was in April of 2017, which was a couple of months just before I began in my new role as the executive minister for the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada. And I often get asked by people, well, what is it like to be the executive minister? And when you drill down, I think really what they're saying was, well, what in the world do you do? And so here's my illustration. When I was a regional minister, I was a pastor in a local church prior to that for 13 years in two different churches. And then I became a regional minister, and I created a hockey illustration at that point in time. I said, it was kind of like when you went from being a pastor to a regional minister, I went from being a player to being a coach. And As a player, as a pastor in a local church, you have meaningful personal conversations with people on a regular basis. You get to celebrate children. You get to do baptisms. You get to preach on a regular basis. You get to be involved in alpha groups and small group Bible studies and all that type of thing. And when I became a regional minister, I felt like I became a coach. I went off of the ice and went behind the bench. And in that role, I was there to support the pastors, to walk with them, to encourage them as they went through trials or challenges or as they were going through various things. My role was to walk alongside and help whenever that was possible and if they needed any help in some way. So when I became the executive minister, as we call it, I went from being the coach to being the general manager. I know it doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? But it is a role to be played. It's my role now is to support the coaches, support all of the team that is alongside of me and before me. And then it's also to help create vision in a larger sense for the denomination. It has the responsibility of all the financial pieces that relate to the denomination, and also the connectedness to all of our ministry partners right across Western Canada, across all of Canada, and around the world. And so that's what I do. I know you still don't know what I do, but it's my best shot at explaining to it. Try, just imagine being me when you sit down on a plane beside somebody and they ask you what you do, and just trying to understand. It's easier to say I'm a garbage man. But anyway, that's what I try to do anyway. But I am incredibly thankful for the team that I get to work with. And we are able to work well together. And as we work well, what we try to do our role is to serve. Our role is to serve the 170 churches that make up the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada, whether that's First Baptist Vancouver or whether that's Southwest Baptist in Kamloops, BC. As many of you will know, your church is going through a series of messages right now with a focus on prayer. As you work towards the coming of your new lead pastor, and the beginning of another new season of ministry here at First Baptist. It's an exciting time and we celebrate with you. And as Anthony is about to come, it is true that it will bring in a new season, but what I wanted to note this morning, before I knew anything that Andrea was going to say, is that I know that First Baptist hasn't just been treading water, in a sense, waiting for a new pastor to come. I know that your ministry has continued. And your pastors and your volunteers have all taken on additional responsibilities, and they have served in sacrificial ways. And on your behalf this morning, I wanted to say thank you to each and every one of them, from your pastoral team to your volunteer base, who have been faithful in the calling that God has placed on their lives in serving Him and in serving the people of this congregation and this community. I wonder if we could thank them this morning. Now, this might not be true for many of you, but I must admit that at times my prayer life increases, or at least it gets more urgent when my stress increases. Probably not the same for you, I know. I fly a fair bit, and I always pray for safety for myself and that entire plane load of people before we take off every time. And to this point in time, I've always given thanks at the end of that flight as well, when we land safely and all is well. And then beyond that, I don't think a whole lot of it, except when the turbulence hit. When the plane starts bouncing around, and then suddenly my prayer life ramps up again with quite a fervor, I must admit. It's kind of like you don't necessarily pray for your own body parts until you realize that they don't work, right? I had 5 surgeries over the course of a year on my left eye. I've prayed a lot about one particular body part for me. And many of you have also prayed and you've asked about it and you've been kind and gracious, and I'm grateful for you for that. But it's amazing how when our own anxiety level rises, our own stress levels rise, that our prayer life sometimes often rises as well when the anxiety sets in. And at this point in time, the reality is that we aren't always sure how those prayers will be answered. I believe that all prayers are answered. It's just a matter of they're not always answered the way that we want them to be answered. To this point in time, I'm thankful that all those flights I've been on, I've been able to say thank you at the end. When it comes to my eye, I'm still grateful, but the 5% or so vision that I have in it, I would rather have more, and I would love to be able to see more out of that eye. But that's okay. That's the reality in which we live, and that's how we work and move forward, and we cling to and we hold to God. 2 weekends ago, we held, for the CBWC, we held what we called our assembly or our gathering, when all the churches in the denomination are asked to send pastors and delegates to participate in the meetings, in the decision-making process of the denomination. We met in High River, Alberta, major destination place, and some of you traveled from here to be there representing your congregation. It was the first time that we had one of these gatherings when I was in my new role, and it was also the first one for my assistant who served as our event coordinator, and so we were both really wanting to put our best foot forward, I must admit. The beautiful thing about this gathering is that I knew that it was bathed in prayer by people from across the country. I was supposed to give a talk on the Friday morning of that gathering, which was to sort of set the stage for the rest of the weekend. And a couple of weeks before, I started wrestling with what that talk would look like, and I was struggling. I thought I knew what needed to be said, but I was wrestling with how it should be said. And I prayed over and over again, asking the Spirit to make clear to me what it was that I should say, how it was that I should say it. What I find interesting, though, is that I wasn't terribly anxious about the fact that I didn't have the talk figured out, which might seem a little bit strange thing to say. But over the days before the assembly, I had several people. I had family members. I had other organization, Canadian or Christian organizational leaders contact me. I had pastors. I had staff. The general secretary of the Baptist World Alliance suddenly sent me a note one day saying, "Be praying for you in your meetings over the next few days." And I wrote him back and I said, "How did you know we were having meetings over the next few days?" Like, this guy has got a worldwide perspective. But as I had all of those assurances of prayer, these people assured me of prayer, it dropped the level of anxiety dramatically. And I knew that that talk would come together at some point in time. And it was an incredible assurance knowing that these people were praying. That talk came together at about midnight, about 9 hours before it was supposed to be given, which I must admit, it was getting a little late for me. I would have liked it would have come together sooner. And I was kind of hoping I'd have some sleep that night as well, you know. But what I didn't know is that I needed to experience how the Spirit of God was moving in the people on the Thursday night before he could have me to understand what he wanted to say through me on Friday morning. He knew what he was doing all along. I was the one who was starting to get a little bit, really? I don't always take the time to consider what an incredible thing it is to be prayed for. But on this occasion, I knew that God had heard and responded to those prayers. And in that, you have this message of assurance and hope. A few moments ago, you heard this prayer that was read for us, written by the Apostle Paul to the churches in Ephesus. I want to read this prayer to you again, and I'd like you to listen to this prayer. Imagine that this prayer is a prayer that is being prayed for you. It may be being prayed for you as an individual, depending on where you're at this morning and what's going on in your life. It may be being prayed for you as a church, as First Baptist Vancouver. Paul writes this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for this reason." It's kind of like when you read the word therefore in Scripture. There's something that has been said beforehand when he starts off by saying, "For this reason." Earlier, Paul has been talking about salvation by grace through faith, and that he has been called to spread the word, particularly to the non-Jewish crowd, but also to Jews as well. And so Paul's setting the stage, and he does this a couple of times in the book of Ephesians as he is working through these passages. But he says, for this reason then, for all these reasons that he had listed before, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Let these words touch you and sink in. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Don't you love the descriptive language that is being used? You might remember a song from your child that goes like this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The inquisitive person then asks, well, how much does Jesus love me? And Paul uses this amazing Trinitarian language to paint a picture for us of just how vast that love really is. It's interesting, the writer of the book of Genesis does something similar when he's describing how God first calls Abram before he was even called Abraham. But when God first called Abram to rule over the land before him, and God sets the scene for Abram. He says this, through Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message, he says this: open your eyes, look around. Look north, look south, look east, look west. Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give to you and your children forever. I'll make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving. Walk through the country, its length and its breadth. I'm giving it all to you. God wants Abram to get it. He wants him to grasp the abundance of God's blessing on him and his descendants. He says to him, you can't count dust. You can't count. We might see a lot of dust. We might try to deal with a lot of dust. Try imagine counting the dust. You can't count the dust, and you can't understand God's blessing by just standing still or by just staying in one corner of the land. You need to go out there. You need to experience the vastness of this gift firsthand. And the Apostle Paul is doing something similar to the church in Ephesus. And I believe that he wants us to get it today as well, to understand the abundance of God's blessing upon us and all who believe. And so he says, I come to the Father in prayer, asking him to strengthen you with the power of his Spirit into your inner being, so that through faith, Christ Jesus may dwell in your hearts. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Peterson says, and I ask him that with both feet firmly planted on love. When we're firmly planted, when we're firmly rooted, then we can begin to grasp just how wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love of Jesus really is for us. A love that goes way beyond just our own head knowledge, but is understood in the fullness of our hearts. A love that was demonstrated clearly when Jesus was willing to give of his own life for us on the cross. We live in a day and age, I believe, where love is challenged. If you're someone who's used to reading your Bible or going to church, you likely know what is commonly referred to as the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And when Jesus was the one who was challenged about what is the greatest commandment, he also was quick to say, but don't forget the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. At that talk at the assembly, I shared a quote that I got from Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, who had said this. He says, our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. Let me read it for you again. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that if you love someone, it means that you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. We are called to be a people who get along, not a people who are quick to divide. There are many differences in our world where we all won't agree. But just because we don't agree with someone on an issue doesn't mean that they are now our enemies or that we should write them off. We're called to love God. We're called to love one another. And we're called to plant our feet firmly in the knowledge of the overwhelming love of Jesus for each and every one of us. The passage that was read a few moments ago is not only one of good news, but or assurance of the fullness of God through the love of Jesus to all, but it has two more verses at the end as well that are often used as a benediction or a blessing, which they truly are. But I think the very first line of it really puts things into perspective for us. They go like this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. That line challenged me this week as I was thinking about this, because I think sometimes, well, maybe it's just me, but sometimes that prayer life rises with urgency or rises with stress. And the reason why is because I don't necessarily always believe that he who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine really has control. I want to share with you a couple of stories of things that happened at our assembly gathering that I hope will help to illustrate a little bit about our need to make sure that we cling to and hold to the fact that God is able to do more than we ask or imagine. The first story is the fact that on the opening night of our assembly gathering, we welcomed four new churches into the denomination. Now, we live in a day and age as well where people are very quick to talk about churches that are closing, the faith is no longer relevant, and that people are big into spirituality, but that's a very generic kind of thing. Well, I'm really excited to tell you that we welcomed four new churches into the denomination. One of those churches, and you guys get it. You know, the song that you sang earlier in the multiple languages, you have an understanding of this already. One of those churches is located on the North Shore here in Vancouver, and it's an Iranian church. And in April, I received an email from my church planting director who said, the Iranian church yesterday, I got it on Monday, so in their service on Sunday, they baptized 67 people. Yeah, that's worth clapping. And I went. As I read the email, it's not the typical email I get on a Monday morning, I must admit. They baptized 67 people. So then my, you know, somewhat cynical side at times thinks, But I remember Shannon telling me that there was baptisms of short time ago. So I wrote her back and I said, well, this is an accumulation, right? You meant that these are their total numbers now for this congregation. And she wrote me back and she said, no, Rob, they baptized 67 people in April. They had already baptized 20 in January, and they had baptized 25 last November. These aren't accumulation numbers. And now that congregation has planted a second church in Coquitlam, where there is a significant Iranian population, and they all speak, and Farsi is the language that all their services are happening in. And it was fascinating to be able to talk to the pastor afterwards, and him talking about their next generation as well, and the fact that they will have to move into English at some point in time. And there will be opportunities, but there will be challenges that will come with that as well. There's good news, folks. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. One of the other things that we did at the assembly was we did what we called table talks. It's not really rocket science, but we actually learned to talk to one another. We set up enough tables in the gymnasium of the church that we met at that 300 people gathered around tables of eight, and for 90 minutes, they spoke to one another about five questions, challenging, differing theological position type questions, things that we as a denomination as a whole have to wrestle with. Somebody asked me partway through, or right near the end of the assembly, what was the highlight for me of the assembly? And I said, the highlight for me was seeing 300 people for 90 minutes take the time, and we had split them up. You weren't allowed to sit with the people you came with from your own church. You weren't supposed to sit with your spouses or anything like that. We were trying to split you up. If you knew you were totally different than this person theologically, sit with them. You know, that was the key. So for me, the highlight of the assembly was when I stood back and I watched 300 people talking to one another instead of talking about one another. That's what we are called to do. And sometimes some of these things we think are just way beyond us. But to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, these things are not too great. Third story. At the table talk discussions, not every table went where everybody was really happy and excited about being together, I'll be honest. There were some challenging discussions that took place, but that's okay. That's why we were there. But at one of these tables, two pastors who hold very different views on a couple of challenging theological issues were there together at this table. And as the table talk wound up, the two of them decided that they would gather again the next day and they would meet in order to talk further about their own personal views about a challenging topic. They did that. They each brought a couple of other people with them. And they spent an hour or more together. And at the end of their time together, they felt understood enough by one another that an hour later, when I had the privilege of leading us in communion, those two pastors came forward together while weeping to take communion together. Because they were willing to talk to one another and not just about one another. It's so easy to throw bombs across the fence, or in this case, perhaps even across the provinces. It's tougher to sit down and talk, but you know what? Taking the time to do that. These two men have a very different understanding of one another now, And the other people who are a part of that conversation will take that with them also. And there will be growth that comes from this. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they now both agree with each other on the challenging issues, but they understand each other. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Last story, and I'll turn you loose. The Canadian Baptists of Western Canada used to have a one-year training school that was called the Baptist Leadership Training School. It was based in Calgary. It was known as BLTS, as the short forms go for everything. Anybody remember BLTS or heard of it? Yes, there's a few of you out there still. That one-year training program shut down 20 years ago. But it had run its course for 55 to 60 years. And in that time, it raised up all kinds of leaders, some of whom went on to pastoral ministry, many of whom went on to be leaders just like all of you are in your local church. And it was an incredible training ground, really, in many ways, for young people to grow and to mature. It shut down 20 years ago. It had to, for reasons that were justifiable at the time. But in this past 20 years, we've lost a generation of our young people as they've grown up, many of whom have gone off and gone to other places. And so we are about to start a new gap year program, and it's going to be called Kurios. Kurios is the Greek word for Lord. And as my next gen guy says, and it sounds a lot like curious as well, so you're going to be curious about Kurios, is his line. But it will be a gap year program, an opportunity for young people who have finished high school, who either want to learn and grow in their faith, they want a bit of an adventure, they're still wrestling with what's next in their life, and so this might be something that helps them to sort that out. And it will be unique, it will be creative, it will be multidisciplinary, and it will have an international component to it as well. As Bob's sitting here looking at me saying, it better have an international component to it, right? It will have an international component to it as well. And we will work with our ministry partners across Western Canada as it comes. So it too will happen. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, I wonder if the people, when BLTS, the Baptist Leadership Training School, I wonder if the people, when it was started, had any idea it would last for 50 or 60 years. I wonder if they had any idea what the impact of the lives of those who went to that school would be on this denomination for all of those years and years to come. And then I thought of this line once again. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It's not out of reach. So this morning I leave with you Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And I encourage you to read it as if it's a prayer for you and for this church. I leave you with the reminder of the love of Jesus for each of you. And I leave you with the words of benediction, this blessing, that as you look ahead to this next season of ministry at First Baptist, and whether Andrea continues to be a part of that or not, is a piece I wasn't expecting when I put these words down. But as you look ahead to the next ministry season at First Baptist, that you do so embracing the love of Jesus, ensuring that you're loving one another, and that you not limit God. Because him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Hear these words of benediction and know that if you need someone to be with you in this moment in a special way, There is always a team of folks, and there's a big team today, ready to pray with you over here. So please do make that available to you. Hear these words. May God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask or imagine, may God, according to his power that is at work within you, even when you can't see it, may this same God fill your emptiness with divine fullness. Stir your hearts afresh. Touch you, and through you, touch your neighbors. To this God, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to this God be glory in the church, this one and all of the others, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. Go in peace.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. For more sermons and information about our church's services and programs, please visit firstbc.org.